The sermon tonight comes from Exodus chapter 6, starting with verse 14. Exodus chapter 6, starting with verse 14, we'll go to chapter 7, verse 7. Exodus 6, starting with verse 14. These are the heads of their fathers' households: the sons of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These are the families of Reuben. The sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad, and Jachin and Zor and Shaul, the sons of the Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations: Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And the length of Levi's life was 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni and Shimei, according to their families. The sons of Kohath, Amram and Izhar, and Hebron and Uziel. And the length of Kohath's life was 133 years. The sons of Merari and Mahali and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites, according to their generations. Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the length of Amram's life was 137 years. The sons of Izhar, and Korah, and Nepheg, and Zikri. The sons of Uziel, Mishael, and Elzaphan, and Sithri. Aaron married Elisheba, the daughter of Aminadab, the sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. The sons of Korah, Izhar, and Elkanah, and Abi Asaph. These are the families of the Korahites. Aaron's sons, Eleazar, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites, according to their families. It was the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt, according to their hosts." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing out the sons of Israel from Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. Now it came about on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you." But Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh, that he let none of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh does not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my host, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst." So Moses and Aaron did it as the Lord commanded them. Thus they did. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now as we look and examine your word, as you are displayed to us in what you have said. Help us to understand who you are, what you have accomplished, what you will accomplish, and help us to see our place in all that you do and all that you say, that you will be glorified as we think of you correctly, as we think of ourselves correctly, as we love and worship you in accordance with your will and your commands, and as we love our neighbors in accordance with your will and commands. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at our lives, all of us have places that we have come from that we are not proud of. All of us have places that we have been that we are not proud of. One of the most disturbing things that I had heard, someone was describing what they imagined the day of judgment might be. And they imagined that we would stand before the throne and a large screen would be placed there and all the shadows of our past would be displayed for the entire assembly. I remember fear gripping my heart in that moment, thinking of the terrible dread that would be in such a moment. Now, I don't propose that that's what's going to happen. I don't expect you to think in that way, but I would like you to take for a moment and to imagine what it would be like for all of our shadows of our past and the shadows of our hearts to be displayed. We look at us, or look at ourselves, and sometimes we imagine that those are the things that define us. In my own life, I have looked and recognized and understood that at different times in my life, the things that have defined me, it's been my fear. Or I would not act. Or I would not speak the truth on God's behalf. Or I would not love. Or I would not offer comfort. Or I would not bring someone into my home. That I was acting on fear. Sometimes in our lives, we look and we see the ways that we are serving God or the ways that we are not serving God, rather. It's based on where we have come from, how we would see ourselves, or the ways that Satan would describe us, the accusations that he would bring. You cannot serve because you have done this, because you have been this. You are disqualified from the kingdom. Can we believe that? Can we live that? Can we act on that? Can we be restrained by such things? We look at the scripture here and we see that Moses is actually stepping forward and Moses is actually leading with his own weakness at this point. He is displaying where he has come from. We'll look and we'll make that point as we look back in Exodus chapter 49 as it's described where he has been. And this is the reality for each of us. Where we have been does not define us. It is where you are now that defines you. It is where God says you are now. Where you have come from does not define you. It is where you are now and where you are going that defines you. And I think we could all agree it's not what Satan says that defines us. But it's what Christ says that defines us. So the call for you this evening is to step out of the shadow of the past and to move forward in glory as a light for Christ. Our first step, number one, acknowledge the past shadows. That is, we do not deny where we have come from. It is not a secret thing. It is not a hidden thing. Exodus 6 14 through 16, Moses lays out where these three tribes have come from and where they are now. The sons of Reuben, the sons of Simeon, the sons of Levi, he displays and talks about these things. We may imagine that it might be a boastful thing for him to say, I come from Levi. It is not a boastful thing for him to say that I have come from Levi. In Genesis 49, 1 through 7, where Israel had brought his people, his children together, and he starts speaking to them, who they have been and what they will be. Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves that I may tell you what will befall you in the days to come. Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might in the beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Sounds great. And he goes on to say, uncontrolled as water, you shall not have preeminence. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. He goes on to speak of Simeon and Levi, who are laid out there in Exodus chapter 6. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their counsel. Let not my glory be united with their assembly, because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Moses steps forward and he says, here I am, the son of Levi. Here I am of this house. Here is my weakness, the weakness of my origins. Each of us, if we are honest, we could make a similar statement. Each of us, we could look and we can see the places that we have been, the dark shadows that our hearts have pursued. We can see where we have come from, even if we've been able to cover it over and to gloss it over to the people around us. Exodus 2, 11 and 12, we see the fierce anger of Moses has continued from the tribe of Levi. He struck down a man and he buried him in the sand. In Acts 9, we see the place of Saul where his heart was overflowing with murderous hatred. We look in Luke 22, 60 through 62. We see the terrible place of Peter where he denied the Lord three times. In that heavy and sorrowful moment after he denies him the third time and he hears the rooster crow and he looks across the courtyard and Christ looks and they meet one another's gaze in such a moment. Each of us who are saved can relate to that moment. The moment we realize Christ has been and is present for all of our crimes. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amos made the good profession, "I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet." Romans 3:23 makes this statement for all of us. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Perhaps you, like me, in your own life, you have felt yourself fall short. You have felt yourself to be a failure. Possibly in the kingdom or in the midst of the church, in relationships, in the midst of your employment. You have found yourself to have been weighed and measured, and you have been found wanting. You have been found lacking. Some of us, the burden may go even further, as it was described by Moses, moving back to mother and father. Perhaps their name is not a name that you could exalt. Grandparents and beyond, or the land that you have come from. For some of us, it's even more personal. It's our own hearts and our own shortcomings. Maybe our name or our reputation may even go before us in some situations where we would be exposed to our own shadows or even be seen as still being in our own shadow. Well, this idea comes along, and then the statement is made in verse 26. It was the same Moses and Aaron to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their hosts." This next step is to trust in the proper line. So the line had been made out, this line coming from Levi and coming on down. And it's displayed that it will be a power, that it will be used. And this move, trust the proper line. We come to a different place. Do any of us trust in Moses for our salvation? Is that the rescue for anyone here? Is the law that has been brought your rescue? You keeping the law, is that your rescue? Is this how you have been saved? Have you been saved by being good enough? Have you been saved by your own name? Has this been your rescue? Can this ever be your rescue? What is your identity? Is another way to ask the question. Where are you? How are you saved? In Deuteronomy 18:15, it is displayed that something else is going to happen. Another change is going to be made. Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord, the covenant God, your God, will raise up for you, Moses says, a prophet like me from among you, from among your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is that foreshadowing of Jesus Christ in his baptism. This is this foreshadowing of the glorifying of Jesus Christ, the transfiguration where God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Then he says, "Listen to him." You listen to him. This is the place for all of us. This voice speaks to each of you. You, as individuals, you listen to him. What does that mean for you as an individual? It means to come to the word and to attend to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. It means receiving it with love in our hearts, laying it up in our hearts, and practicing it in our lives. You listen to him. It means diligently reading your Bible every day. You listen to him. This is the line that comes by which we are saved. In Acts 3, 22 through 23, Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." Do you listen to this prophet? Does he speak to you? Does he speak to you from this pulpit? Does he speak to you from your Bible? Do you listen to him? Is this the reality of your life? It is that voice that has spoken and given credence to this Son in Hebrews 1, 5 through 6. "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'? And again, 'I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me.' And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'And let all of the angels worship him.'" This goes back and it looks like the picture when Jesus gives the parable of the vineyard. And he had made the vineyard and he had rented it out to people who were to keep it. And when the time came and he sent someone to gather, to get the fruits from that labor, they beat the man and sent him away. And he sent someone else and he beat them and sent them away. And God says, "I will send my son, surely they will listen to him." And when the son comes, they say, "This is the heir, behold, let us destroy him." And Jesus, when he says this and he gives this parable, he says to the people, "What will happen? What will happen?" The people hear and understand that the landowner will destroy those people who have not received the Son. Are you listening to him? Are you hearing him from this pulpit? Are you hearing him as you diligently read your Bible? Do you hear the prophet Jesus Christ? Romans 2:16. "On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus." So having been called to the proper line, which is hearing Christ, hearing what he has said in his word, hearing the word proclaimed, we are brought to the place which is the place of worship. Exodus 4:31. "So the people believed when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction." This is the place where we recognize the affliction or recognize God's care for you in your affliction. Does your heart hurt? Does your heart hurt? Do you fear? Do you doubt? Are you struck with anxiety? Do you worry about yourself? Do you worry about your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your children? Do you worry about your neighbors? Because we should be, unless we are so self-medicated, either with medication or with aimless distraction, we will hurt. Do you hurt? God looks and he has seen your affliction. He has said, "I am indeed concerned about you." Cares about your hurt. He cares about your fear. He cares about your sorrow. It is the reality of the gospel that God has looked and has so loved you that he sent his one and only Son to die for sinners. This is his demonstration of his love and his affection for you. We see this proper response in Exodus 4:31. "So the people believed. And when they heard that God was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affection, and they bowed low and they worshiped." Our coming to the assembly is our response to him having seen your affliction and him being concerned. This is why we are to come to church. To give him his worship. to respond to who he is and what he has done. See, the people, again, and this keeps coming up, they liked it when the news was easy, but then when things had gotten hard in Exodus 5:21, then they said to them, that is to Moses and Aaron, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." We look and we see that it's easy for us to get angry. It's easy for us to be mad at each other. It is easy for us to be disappointed in each other. It's easy for us to be offended by one another. It is easy to be offended by our own elders. It is easy for us to be offended by our presbytery. It is easy for us to be offended by our synod. Guess what? We're all sinners around here. And if you miss that, you have missed the gospel. Everyone falls short. It is the reality of this life. It will be hard. It is our responsibility to love sinners, to love as we have been loved. It is our place to overlook an offense and to rejoice in what we have been given in Christ Jesus, not to be those who fall away so quickly by every and any offense. This brings us to our fourth step. Rejoice in your perfect heritage. We have looked at the dilemma and the problem of where we have come from. Again, some of us have come from an unclean land. Some of us have come from unclean people. Some of us, our background is so shady that we would be embarrassed to tell our own stories. In my own life, at different times, I'm asked to share my testimony. And when it's been a long time since I've done it, when I'm asked to do that, I actually cringe. I hate telling the story of how bad I was. It is hard. It is difficult. It is embarrassing for me to stand up. It is embarrassing even for me to process where I have come from and the things that I have done. I am not proud of it, and I am not boasting about it even in this moment. And I long for my children not to have the same scars that I have, and I long for you not to have the same scars that I have, and the same embarrassments that I have, and the same ripple effects from my sin from 20 years ago that I have. Where we have come from, if you are in Christ, has changed. Everything has changed. It is spoken of in this way in 1 John 3:1-2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. Where do you come from? Where do you come from? What is your past? What is your heritage? In John 1:12-13, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." If you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, God has so loved you to give you a new heart. You are children of God. This is who you are. This is where you come from now. Romans 8:16-17 bring this point. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. That is, if we are believing, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. Which brings us into our next step, which is put off shadow. We see that if we have this godly heritage, if we have been brought from this darkness, we are placed in a new place. So first Peter 2, 9 and 10, and then we'll flow into 11. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We see the line being drawn out and demonstrated the same way that it had been from Moses, but for him it had been from Aaron, who was angry. I mean, for Moses it had been from Levi, who was angry, a despicable anger. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Well, this next verse, verse 11, is this place of putting off shadow. So having been chosen, having been made a people, having been made a priesthood, having now received mercy, now being the people of God. Verse 11, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Having been brought from that place and being new people, there are ways that new people live. In Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, it's that picture and that imagery of putting off the old sinful ways, putting off the old man, putting off the old heritage, the places that we have come from, even the sins that we have inherited from parents. Putting on the new man, which is created in love and righteousness, which is being recreated in holiness after Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:24 says it this way. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. This morning we talked about the idea of having been set free, the shackles of sin and death being put off. Freedom to love Christ, freedom to follow him, freedom to love one another. This is now our identity. Not the anger of the past or the hatred of the past or the sins of the past, but a new righteousness given in Christ Jesus. Which brings us to our next step. And for this, we will look at Exodus 30, 6:30 through 7:1. Exodus 6:30 through 7:1. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. We are brought into this place where life is being announced. Despite the past, despite where we have come from, despite who we have been, a new answer is given by the commandment of God. Luke 1, 77 through 79. To give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. And this is a beautiful way that we can bring the gospel to people. We can rightly describe God's justice and God's judgment. But the good news doesn't end there. The good news comes to the place where we bring forth and demonstrate God's tender mercies with which the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Is that where you have seen yourself? In darkness. Because of your sin. Because of where you have come from. Have you known yourself to be in that place, in darkness and in shadow in your crimes? But a light comes to shine on those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The apostle then speaks in this way in 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, Have you thought of yourself in that official position, ambassadors for Christ, moving into these positions to speak of God's judgment and His justice, to speak of His righteousness, the light shining and the mercies that come and flow from Christ Jesus? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Is it too much for us to say that to someone? I beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. A division has taken place. Mankind has been separated from God by their sin. God has made atonement. What has been separated, atoned at one. At one-ment again through Christ Jesus. And we can beg people to be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a bit of our explanation. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. People don't like the announcement of the judgment. Tell them that it's real. It's real whether they like it or not. But God has made a way, even for sinners like you and me and everyone to whom we will speak, for them to be brought to the place where they themselves can even be known as the righteousness of God, as Jesus Christ has paid for our crimes. And He gives righteousness to everyone who will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead. So what is our heritage now? 1 Peter 2:9-10. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. There's your identity. A people who have received mercy. You can go with that announcement. You can go into the midst of sinners with that personality. You can go with that identity. I am someone who has received mercy because God has sent His Son to die for sinners. We can announce this. We can step out of our shadows. We can step out of our fear. We can step out of our past and the legacies of our past. And we can shine His marvelous light, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make this your identity. Make this the reality of your life. Pray with me. Our God, tonight You have spoken by Your word. In these last days, You have spoken by Your Son, Christ Jesus. May we be those people who hear this prophet. May we be those people who hear what You have said. May we be those people who apply it to our lives and announce it with grace and humility to our neighbors. Be glorified as we live as Your sons and daughters in this world, and we shine Your light. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.